Bible says that the word of the Lord was precious and is precious. And Eli and Samuel have been given the word of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you today, thank God, you are blessed when you can hear a word from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And many people hear it that don't comprehend it. Praise God. And God is heavily speaking into his people's lives. And he is speaking, he is shouting to come into the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got some things tonight. I'm not going to hold you too long. We just have a few short announcements. Praise God. Brother, we are on the verge of a lot of things. Thank God. You can see the world is on the verge of war. On the verge of this, you know, the world is going to be the world. They're always going to be warring because they have war with inside their members. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, saints of God, you do not have to war with your worry anymore. You don't have to war against your worry. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry. You don't have to war with your lust or your these things anymore, saints of God. We have the antidote. And his name is Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's some good news. Thank you, God. So we're going to get into some things. Oh, I just got a few short announcements. Oh, you can, we have our podcasts are on multiple platforms at this moment. We are behind. Thank you, God. And thank you for your patience. Praise God. We have a lot that we are working on within the ministry. And I do thank God for your patience. And I just got back, for those who have emailed and things of that nature, we have caught up on those, at least, praise God, and we are getting over into some other things, into the ministry, know that you are always in our prayers, and thank God for all the prayers and the encouraging words, I tell you. It is a time that I had posted a scripture on Facebook. Thought we were going to read from it or minister from it a few weeks ago, but about the time how Moses' arms got heavy. And praise God, his friends, Aaron and Hur, or his cousin, his brother Aaron and Hur, had placed a rock up under him. And I just thank God for people who have rocks. Who has the rock inside of him? Praise God. And I tell you, the Bible says his hands became steady until the sun went down. And it is a blessing. It is a blessed thing when you can have somebody who has truly a rock, not just a good advisor who truly knows the rock of ages, and can place and can put you in those pressurized moments in life. Because the Bible says that Moses' hands went up, Joshua in the valley prevailed against the Amalekites. But when his hands went down, the Amalekites prevailed against them. And I'm here to tell you tonight, thank God. Thank God for those men and women of God standing in the middle, standing in holding up the men and women of God. And did you not know that your worship and your connection is affecting many of people's lives? I've seen individuals in those pressurized situations that the lifeline of individuals are depending on your worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've seen where individuals standing in the gap in those pressurized situations, and your hands go up, and a lot of things are dependent on your worship and your connection with God. That's a lot of pressure. But thank God for the men and women of God who have rocks that are steady individuals in those pressurized situations. I know. This is why I always try to encourage people, because I know, praise God, I know the things that whether you're a leader of 10, a leader of 2, whatever position title, hallelujah, if God chose you, which he has, there are your life, God is using your life to stand in the gap for many others. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we thank God for those individuals. We thank God for you tonight, saint of God. Praise God. We're going to get into some things tonight. We do have some videos coming, and we have some extensive teachings. I wasn't going to open these things up until we opened up the physical building, but they're kind of bubbling over now. But we're going to get into some extensive teachings and things very, very soon. We have some series coming up, and we're going to unleash some things. I thought they were prematurely, but, when God says go, you've got to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to hold the line too long. I know there's some great men and women of God that God is ministering to greatly have a release for God's people tonight. Thanks to God. Hallelujah. And so I'm not going to be before you too long. And we're going to open up the floor here shortly. And you will be hearing from some great men and women of God, some guest speakers, some you've heard from, some you haven't. Praise God, and we bless God for all of them. I'm excited that God is using you to take territory for his glory. Hallelujah. Taking territory for his glory. And invite people on the line, praise God. This is not about God-ordained ministries. This is about servitude. It's about serving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't be stingy where you eat from. Praise God. Don't be stingy. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to get into some things tonight. Y'all turn with me to 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter. We're going to start in chapter 1, and I'm not going to read too many of these tonight. I thought we were going to read from some Jeremiah, but that will be for a later date. There's a lot of rich nuggets, in what I thought we were going to read from today, but it's going to take a while to set the scene. Not that you guys aren't studied or read, but have not read Jeremiah, but there's a lot that definitely goes into it that I know will richly enhance your spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, as today was a very interesting day for Brother Marcus, in between phone calls from ministry and business work, I had my time with the Lord, and as I was, like I alluded to earlier, I thought we were going to read from Jeremiah tonight, and it is apparent that the pressure is being applied to God's people. As the enemy, in different seasons, he applies different pressures, but he's always around. He's always around, praise God, to try to entice, try to corrupt, try to conflict our thoughts and try to solicit and seduce us into ways that will have us doubting, have us conflicted, have us confused. And this is his job. This is his job. And if he had a manifesto, if you will, just look no further to the mind battles that we often have. The enemy tells on himself. He really reveals his game plan. And because we're so used to it, oftentimes we settle in it. We know God and we praise God, but we settle through our actions and through our mindsets and our thoughts, and because a lot of it is because of pressure. Now, pressure is looked at two different ways depending on which side you stand on. Pressure in the world is used for us to fulfill the destiny in which sin, because sin has a prophecy too. Sin has prophecy. Jesus said that the Apostle Paul so plainly put it, that the wages of sin is death. So by that scripture, it tells you that sin has a prophecy. There's a expected end to it. Now, on the other side, God will use pressure to make us, to form us, to crush us, to mold us, to make us. If you are a blood-bought, believing, Bible-following man or woman of God, you will not be able to escape pressure. You will not be able to escape. You will not be able to get around it. You will not be able to two-step by it. It is one of the key components in the making of a believer. Why? Because we wear what's against us. The Bible tells us to put the full, and that the Apostle Paul was speaking from a spiritual. You have to understand, the Word of God cannot be digested carnal. And carnal is what is against the spirit, or the spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's exact opposite. Everything about it is different. How it operates, how it moves, what it produces. So oftentimes we'll read something and it will have variant revelations apparent. And it's not because it's contradictory. It's because we're at the level that we see. It'll make more sense here in just a second. But the absence of God's spirit, the absence of his counsel, that is a very, very dark place. Notice I said absence of his presence, his counsel. But I'm here to tell you, this is why everything starts in a seed. I was at times in my life, and at times, as you can see, the men and women of God were absent of God. Speaking of, the Apostle Paul was absent of God's presence and God's counsel. All the while, in his mind, he thought he was doing things for God. All the while. And we can be so strong and we can be so wrong. This is why it's important to stay humble. Because just as we are, there are times we feel so strong and there's other times we feel so weak. And you're not wrong in either situation. As long as God is relied upon. As long as his word is still our fabric, as long as his word is still our constitution, we'll be okay. But we're wearing our pressure. This flesh. The flesh wants what it wants, and it'll do whatever it needs to get it, and it will continue to consume and consume and consume until the flesh consumes you and you expire with it. The God's a forever God. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. And he is yet with us. And he has overcome the things that we have not even seen yet. And he's faithful. And we quote these scriptures. But there is going to time, there comes a time in the believer's walk where there are seasons of pressure. Pressure that'll make your head spin. And for those who walk in the office, and these are teachings that that we'll expound upon in different genres, if you will, or different settings. But in, if you walk in a fivefold leadership office, you are acquainted. One thing you will be acquainted with is pressure. And you don't even have to walk in a fivefold office. Parents, kids. This is something that was instituted in through the indoctrination of sin. But God uses everything. But I'm here to tell you, God uses everything. Praise God. I remember I would run from pressure, any side of expectation. Because I was so indoctrinated with failure. My expectation was failure because of pressure. God's expectation is for you to rise in the pressure. Same avenue, different expectation. Hence why God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I didn't give you that. See, fear comes derives from flesh and the expectations of flesh. See, flesh has expectations, whether you know it or not. And pressure sometimes can make us do some crazy things when there is the absence count. And hence why we always, sometimes we tend to listen and let the fear counsel, and we'll let the pressure it in and of itself without the counsel of God drive us into places we never believed we'd be into. Drive us into doing things we never thought in our lives we'd do. So this is why I am addicted to encouraging individuals, not sugarcoating, but giving them wise counsel or trying to through the Holy Spirit. Because I understand and we understand the pressure. Paul sent letters for a reason. He didn't write back just to be saying, hey, how y'all doing? That was part of it. But he constantly counseled, taught, educated them about the things of God because he understands how pressure can make us fold. We can fold with the flesh because of the fear. Oh. See, fear sabotages our future. Fear sabotages our future. And we get so indoctrinated by it. Trust me, and these are doctrines taught by demons. Anything that keeps you or tries to derail you from the presence and source of God is a doctrine taught by demons. Hence why in the book of Revelation, Jesus called one church the synagogue of Satan. He was talking to Jews. Because they had been indoctrinated in the ways, and applying walking in the ways that were steering them away from God. Jesus even called the Pharisees, told them that their father was Satan. They said, "Our father be Abraham." Jesus said, "No, he ain't. Because if he was Abraham, you would rejoice in the day, in my day, to see me." Really cut and dry. So this is why pride and all these things, pride, lust, they're self-saboteurs, because you leave no room for God to operate. You now have, through ego and pride and self-righteousness, you become your own God. I hear people minister to people all the time, and, but, I think. Well, I promise you, God does not need what you think. He needs no attitude. Which goes to the unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is bread that has no attitude. And it rises. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to get into some things tonight. 2 Peter. The second epistle of Peter, rather. And so this is one of the books, not only Paul wrote books, wrote letters, of course, Peter did also, where he had somebody write them for him. You get the gist. Because he understood the pressure of this world. It's not normal, and it's not designed to be normal. Because God never wants you to take him for granted. When we get used to something and how man is, when we get used to something or settled into something, we start taking it for granted. Look at the children of Israel. When they settled into some parts of the promised land, they start taking it for granted, started leaving God. And that's the nature of people. That's the nature, I would say, of flesh. This is why God tells us to forgive our enemies, honor our fathers and mothers, honor our brother, do these things. We should, you know, celebrate one another, encourage one another, because this is not the norm. God never intended. He does not make you and mold you, sanctify you, deliver you to make you normal. Not the world standard normal, anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I had a title of this message, it would be virtue. Virtue. Did you not know virtue means power? And I was riding down the road the other day. Holy Spirit began to minister to me about, I was doing some books, actually, some business stuff and begin to do the checks and balances. And the Holy Spirit began to minister to me a godly principle about power. And remember the places that I have been from, that I've come from, where I was wild and rude. And the only checks and balances internally that I had are the checks and balances I have with my parents or my mother. And it was important that we have wise counsel in our lives, wise master builders, because that has my suffer loss. But it will not be lost itself. And so he began to minister to me about checks and balance. And how there is a time that kids are having kids, which is nothing new. But you see spiritually kids birthing kids. And instead of having temples of sanctification and holiness, we got Chuck E. Cheese. We got romper room. Nobody's growing. Everybody's crying. Everybody's still drinking milk. Everybody's just selfish. Everybody is solely focused on themselves. And kids are birthing kids, slapping titles on immaturity, calling behavioral issues that are contrary to the spirit of God, calling it God. Seeing people do things and I'm not condemning anybody. I'm showing you the parallels of growth, growing, and those who aren't. So let's look at some things tonight. I promise you I'm not going to hold you too long tonight. Praise God. A gift doesn't make you grown. It doesn't. A gift is not even a notion that you are growing. You can be just as gifted and just as immature. Trust me. I've been there. Let's read a little bit tonight. Second Epistle of Peter, verse 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit tonight. Virtue, which is power. Title of this message. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is using that pressure to move you into the place he called you. The enemy uses pressure to move you in the place that he has defined. Praise God. Hallelujah. Second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained right precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice he says obtained. Hallelujah. The whole, if you will, soliloquy that I was just giving, it was about obtaining. He said, with us, you will have the same experience, not the exact same, but you will have the same abundance, experience, presence, and marriage, that of Jesus Christ. This is obtainable. Doors that are shut does not mean that God is shut off from you. Trust me, there are doors today that I thank God that he did not let me walk through. Because through things, and when God is in something, he is always going to, God can't be against his nature. He will shut a door that will seem perfect to you, but it wasn't perfect in his eyes. He did not want you to walk. We have to have the mindset that God does know, the Father does know best. He said they have obtained the right precious faith. This is the greatest thing an individual, a human being can obtain, is this like precious faith. You show me somebody with this kind of faith. You show me with somebody with this kind of faith. I'll show you individuals that tombs can't hold. Rape can't hold. Fornication can't hold. Hallelujah. The government can't hold them. This is what he is looking for you to obtain. We are looking for stuff. God is trying to give you the substance, life, and life more abundant. He says, obtain light, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Watch this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. This is some deep stuff here. Things that we put inside of us, it multiplies upon that which is watered. Nature tells you this. Our own bodies tell you. You put a man and a woman and they can have, I've seen documentaries where people have up to 20 and 25 kids through the seed. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus of our Lord. You want more peace? Well, you read it. Grace begins to be multiplied. Peace begins to be multiplied. And this is where pressure is no longer pressure to you. When grace and peace is multiplied, pressure in the sense, it doesn't move you back to places you've been before. That means pressure still doesn't exist. But it's what we feed ourselves. And when we feed ourselves the knowledge and the revelation and understanding of God, doesn't mean we don't have pressure. Or pressure doesn't come. Just doesn't mean it affects us the way the enemy has intended for it to. Because you have peace. And God says, I give you peace that no man can take away. That this flesh can't take away. The government can't take away. Mom and daddy can't take it. God intended for you to be a pillar and a rock that you continue to multiply, continue to exude his presence, continue to reveal his mind, his heart. Continue, hallelujah, to be overcomers. Now watch this. I'm not gonna hold you much longer, thank God. Oh, we can be all night and few verses. Praise God. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Watch this. According as his divine power. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto, life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness. And if you ever want to know what godliness is or what God is, what he is, the thought process about God was to think like Jesus. Jesus was the picture, perfect. He's the picture of God. And I thank God that he has given us, and a lot of these things that are written in the Bible were private conversations. And he has let us to have ears to hear, and when he would have conversations with different scenarios and different situations, a private conversation with his disciples, powerful stuff. But according to as his divine power, not yours, because you don't have any outside. You have ability, but you do not have divine power. You can't save yourself. You save yourself by losing yourself. He said, according to his divine power, have given us unto all things, not some things, not a couple things, but all things, that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Glory and virtue. Glory, virtue. So you ever wonder where God is calling you to, what he's ordained you to be, what he has anointed you to do? He is calling you to glory and virtue. He's calling you to be water walkers, to walk on things that seem so unsteady, but as he is the rock inside of you, that you are concrete, you're on solid ground, even in unstable waters. You want to know what he's calling you to? He's calling you to feed his people when you don't look like you have enough. But inside of you, you know you are in your belief, in your peace, and in your knowledge of him, you know that he is yet still more than enough. When you're facing the enemy and you're battling, and he's trying to entice you to take the broad gate, hallelujah, and he's taking, well, it'll be easier this way. Well, I just want to do what they're doing. They look like they got it so easy. He's causing you to stand even when it goes against the grain. He has called us to glory and virtue because that's what he is. He is glory and he is power. Hallelujah. But all these things come through the knowledge of God. The knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. It's amazing how we can be encyclopedias of foolishness. Man, we can tell you what you did. Somebody can tell you what you did in on June 2nd of 1998 and have very limited knowledge about the one who created all things. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to show you where your power lies, where his power inside of you lies, where his power he wants to exude through you lies. It's in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Praise God. According as his divine power has given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what kind of government assistance you on. I don't care what kind of background you have. I don't care how many times so-and-so said this. I don't care what brothers and sisters are doing. This is where, if you believe, this is where he has called you to. Glory and virtue. See, the Apostle Peter was sending this letter back because he knew they had pressure. He knew they were having great battles and obstacles. He knew that even in the camp, they had false teachers that were trying to divert them from the gospel, from the knowledge and understanding and the presence of Jesus Christ. But he also knew, and he was sending these letters back to encourage him. He knew that God is not, he knows that, or he knew and he knows God is not contrary to himself. Anywhere God is in with this light, precious faith, he will be glorified in the situation, and you will move with great power. Virtue. Hallelujah. We're going to read this last one, thanks to God. We're going to open up this floor. Praise God. Now watch this. He said, whereby, are given unto us exceeding, not recesses, but exceeding, great and precious promise, that by these you might be what? Partakers. By these you might be partakers. I knew that I was not. I had one night I had a dream. And I'm not going to get into all the specifics of the dream. But it was God had let me know that I had become a partaker, and I wasn't riding off somebody else's Holy Spirit. This is long, long time ago. Because in my mind, because of all the guilt and shame that I held from things that I had done, there's no way I could be a partaker. Meaning that the gate was open on my merit or my ability. And that the promises of God were only allotted to those, allotted to only those who earned it, so to speak. And this was the law mentality that I had. And if you didn't know, everything is structured where it has a law. There's laws of aerodynamics, and there's laws of, we have constitutional laws, and there's laws of gravity, and everything has a law, but nothing supersedes the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nothing supersedes. He supersedes all of it. And so in this dream, he was encouraging me that because you have me and I have you, you have me, we're in communion. You are partakers of it. This broke, because you know the enemy, the Bible says he's a lawless one, continues to, meaning he has no structure, has no organization. Everything is violent, and everything is transgressive. And he began to encourage me. That these exceeding and great precious promises weren't for those who just went to the temple, meaning the old school temple, Old Testament temple, the ones who wear the head wraps. And I was floored. Because there are people still trying to partake by earning things. You partake by yielding to me. You partake by the knowledge of God. And there's no difference. The spirit of the world is no different than it was before. The enemy is always looking to pollute knowledge. People have their own, in their minds, they have their own constitution. And meaning they, you know, when you do something to somebody, they think you have to earn their, they always have that part of the book, of your book, in their minds when they're around you. Well, you did this, but they omit all what they have done. So that tells you just their mindset. They're still on the outside looking in. He said, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is extremely vile and polluted and perverted. And we'll break down these things, how lust operates and what its intention is. We know what its intention is, but how it creeps in and operates. Because, see, the flesh wants to always consume, like we talked about, to destruction. And you know when lust is entered into an individual's heart, when they want to be normal, like the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to stop right there, Saint. Can I tell you, you are a partaker today of his divine nature. See, the enemy knows that the divine nature of Jesus Christ is everlasting. It cannot be stopped. So what he tries to do with us is pull us on his playing ground where we are defenseless. To him. We are defenseless to the enemy when we play his game with his tactics, with his ways. We leave the divine and we step back into the carnal. And we wonder why we're losing the battle. And we'll wonder why we're losing. And I'm not talking about losing stuff, because God will strip you down to build you up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about losing the battle for our minds and our souls, for our kids' souls. When you see life is not respected, you know we're losing the battle. But I can tell you tonight, thank you, God, you will not lose, because God can't lose. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. He stole a labahi kamasa. Shamanamasi. He stole a labahi kamasa. Yes, God. Let's just worship him right now, thank you, God. He has made you a partaker. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You got that light, precious faith is greater than anything you're seeing or facing right now, saints of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I see God reversing medical reports right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You might have gotten a diagnosis.